Welcome back to a brand new episode of Motherhood on Mondays with me, your host, Jessica Olsom. Hey guys, welcome back to a brand new episode. And today we're going to be talking about a really honest and raw topic for me today. So I want to start today's podcast out with a little bit of a trigger warning, just because I want to be sensitive to those of you who might be listening to this, but today's topic is definitely one that is something that a lot of moms in motherhood have experienced, and so I want to put a little warning label on this before we start, and just say if you are currently struggling, or if you are maybe in the thick of it right now, today we're going to be talking about loss. We're going to be talking about pregnancy loss and when grief strikes. And so before we jump into this, I just want to put a little disclaimer for anyone that's heart is maybe just in a sensitive place. Know that I understand, and that you are not alone, and that the pain of loss is very, very real. And if you want to listen to this message, I hope that you can find hope and comfort in it. And we're going to talk about my very real life experience and just recently of just what's been going on in our lives. And so that's my little trigger warning. We're going to be talking about loss today. We're going to be talking about pregnancy loss and talking about grief. And so I hope that you'll stick around to listen to today's message. And yeah, that's my little warning. If you need to skip this one, I totally understand. But we're going to be diving into it and, yeah, just being honest and raw. So let's jump into it.
Future Jessica here, just hopping on before you guys dive into this episode. I am a little scatterbrained when I recorded this episode. If you can imagine, there's been a lot going on, and so you're going to hear me just say some things that maybe don't make sense, or maybe it cuts me off because I need to stop for a break before I keep telling my story. So if you just notice a couple little blips in this of where I don't really make sense, just have some grace. I was kind of tired when I recorded this. You also hear me say like my miscarriage with Charles. What I mean by that is like my miscarriage, the one I had before I had Charles. So I refer to it as Charles's miscarriage, but I didn't miscarry Charles. I miscarried the pregnancy before that. So just a little FYI, future Jessica hopping on just to say, I'm sorry that this kind of bounces all over the place, but just keep that in mind. I recorded this when I was kind of tired, and yeah, I hope you enjoy the rest of the podcast.
So a lot of you, if you don't know my story, me and my husband, we have two children. We have Charles and then we have Benjamin. And before we had Charles, me and my husband experienced our first miscarriage. It was a missed miscarriage, and I talk about it all in one of my first episodes. It's in season one of the podcast, of where I talk about my full miscarriage and what that was like and experiencing it, and just shared a message of hope in that. And then after that, we had our son Charles, and then after Charles, we had our son Benjamin. Well, 2024 was what we had hoped would be a really exciting year for us. I've talked a lot about how we were done with just having two kids, and I've always been very open to, you know, that number changing. And we had kind of decided in January that we wanted to add a third child to our family. And so we got pregnant in January, and we found out in February that I was going to be 4 weeks along, and we were very excited. We were very excited to be having another child in 2024, and I was feeling good. I was having normal pregnancy symptoms, and didn't even really think about the possibility of miscarrying. Like, I knew it was a possibility, But since we had had Charles and then we had had Benjamin after Charles without miscarrying, I thought that this pregnancy was just going to kind of be like Benjamin's pregnancy. And so we were just living life. And I like to not really talk about my pregnancies. I generally will wait until I'm 20 weeks along to announce because I just don't like attention. And it's nothing at all about it not being exciting. It's nothing at all like being controlling or anything like that. I just, when you are talking about it so early on, I just don't like to be pestered with people's questions. And that's just like, it's nothing, it's not that it's not exciting, but we were waiting to announce. And so we were just waiting. I'd just called to make an ultrasound appointment with my midwives because I was 8 or 9 weeks along. And so we had scheduled that and for like, you know, my 12th week or something like that, 2 weeks later. And so on Friday, I started spotting. And I'd kind of been spotting a little bit earlier on in the week. And it was brown. I was like, okay, old blood, that's fine. Like, I know these things. But it made me very nervous. And then on Friday, I started bleeding. And I thought maybe that it was just a hematoma because me and Thomas had been intimate the night before. And so that's like normal, you know. You can kind of, your cervix can kind of be sensitive. And so I'd started spotting, called my midwives, and they just suggested laying low over the weekend. And so I just laid in bed kind of over the weekend and just had a lot of cramping. And I just tried to hold on to like hope that it was a hematoma and just trying to not feel that like disappointment of miscarrying again, because realistically I'd been in prayer, I'd been praying about it, and I didn't feel like I was miscarrying, and it didn't feel like the miscarriage I'd had with Charles, of where with Charles I had to take medication. And this one, it was kind of like the cramping was on and off, and then the bleeding was on and off, and it wasn't a lot. And I'm like, okay, like this doesn't look like a lot. And so I like really was just trying to be optimistic and hopeful and have faith in God that God was like, it was going to work out. And I was watching YouTube videos and I kind of just like felt like I didn't feel anything in my spirit of it like being a miscarriage or anything. And so then Saturday night I passed what was a bigger clot, and I had like watched a couple of YouTube videos of how these other people bled a lot and they were still fine. And to me in my head, I'm still like, that's not that much blood. It doesn't seem to like merit, like it could still be a hematoma. But then Sunday evening, that was when I really knew it was like going into like full labor. And I ended up miscarrying Sunday night. And I just like, I knew that's just what it was. I had made a midwife appointment. And sorry if I sound like I don't have a lot of emotions. I'm sure my emotions will come out. It's not that I don't have emotions about it. There's definitely been a ton of emotions, but I'm also kind of just, you get to a point of like where you kind of just have ridden the wave of everything. And now I'm kind of on the other side of that wave. And so Monday, my close friend took my son, and my other son went to preschool, and we went into the ultrasound. And when we went in, I just was praying to God that he would provide like the perfect ultrasound tech to just be comforting during this time. And so we went in. And Thomas was like, is there any chance that this could be positive? And I said, very slim. I don't think so. And as someone that's experienced losses in the past, ultrasounds are not my favorite. I've definitely healed from a lot of the PTSD of going in, but we just prayed before we went in. And then we realized we're at the wrong building. And so then we had to leave because we're at the wrong building, and we had to find the right building. We got there just like barely in time. We prayed before we went in, and my friend took my son, and we went in, and I kind of told the ultrasound tech, we're just sitting there in the like waiting room, and I was like hoping it wasn't going to be that long of a wait, but it was like 15 minutes. And I'm just reading through Psalms 31, the end part of Psalms 31. And the end part of Psalms 31, I was just finding really encouraging. And that's kind of what I'd started reading over the weekend, was Psalms 31, because it's a really just comforting Psalms. And it's, the title of it is Into Your Hand I Commit My Spirit. And I like was reading through that, and it was, in you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be your rock, be a rock and of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, you lead me and guide me. You take me out of the net they have hidden for me. For you are my refuge. And then at the very end, this was what I was reading in the waiting room. It says, love the Lord, all you his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts in pride. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait in the Lord. So I was just reading that over and over and over as we're waiting to go in. And I thought, like, you know, maybe this is going to be our miracle. Maybe it'll be like all those other people on YouTube who it was fine. And we went in, and I kind of told her what we were experiencing over the weekend. And so I was like, we're just here to confirm like the miscarriage, essentially. And if you've experienced the loss, you kind of just know what you are waiting to see. And we knew right away when she put it on my stomach, and it was just quiet. She just did the scan of everything she needed to find, and she had explained that they might need to do an inner vaginal ultrasound. And I just knew what it was. And you know, there were tears, and there were, you know, Thomas just held my hand really hard, and we just held on to each other. And she like was very, very comforting, very, very kind, and there just wasn't anything there. There was no sac, there's no anything, and it looked like I had already passed everything. And like going in, I'd said, like, well, maybe, like, I don't feel like I, like going in, driving in the car, I was like, well, I don't feel like I've passed the baby yet. Because if you've ever had a miscarriage before, you kind of get to learn what everything is. And so she was like, okay, I'm not seeing anything. We're gonna want to do the other one. You don't have to do it if you don't want to. But like, I was like, would it help? Would it give my doctors more information? She's like, it would just help us to know that like everything is passed, that it's not like ectopic or anything. And so I went to the bathroom because I like was struggling to hold my bladder, and I ended up passing the placenta in the bathroom. And TMI, just TMI, I already gave a trigger warning. So, you know, I picked up the placenta out of the toilet, and just like I knew what it was, like I've given birth to two other kids. And so then I went back in and was like, I think I just, you know, I passed the placenta. And then we did the second ultrasound just to make sure everything had passed and everything was fine, and did the ultrasound just to confirm that I had miscarried. I was supposed to be around 10 weeks, and I was 10 weeks pregnant. And we get in the car, and there's worship songs on the radio, and I'm just switching into gear of God, even if you're still good God. And the radio came on. We had texted my friend, and she was so gracious and took my son for the day. And there's this song that's called Come What May. What May. And I want to read it to you because it came on. And this is the lyrics, and this is what played in the car. And, you know, I know in every moment that God is with us and God ordains every moment. And this is a song that played. And it says, sometimes sorrow is the door to peace. Sometimes heartache is the gift I need. You're faithful in all things, in every high, in every low, on mountaintops, down broken roads. You're still my rock, my hope remains. I'll rest in the arms of Jesus, come what may. And that's a song that played, like, immediately after. And it's a song I've heard many times, and it's been close to me in the past. And I just lifted my hands and just worshiped through the tears in the car. Of just like, God, this happened again. It's really hard. And I can't believe we've lost another child. You know, knowing that half of my kids are here on earth and that half of my kids are in heaven. That's a really hard thing to think about, that up until this point, I've had 4 pregnancies. Sorry, my finger is over my microphone. Just to think that I've had 4 pregnancies at this point, and that I only have, you know, half of them to show for it. And it was really just a hard ride home. And we just cried, and we went home, and I went and laid down, and I was pretty exhausted, and I immediately texted my three of my really close friends, and just told them the news of, this is what happened, this is what happened, and I'm, you know, I would just appreciate their prayers, and that, you know, it'd mean a lot to me if they could, you know, just be praying for us. And immediately they're all texting back, just, you know, how sorry they are, can they bring me meals, what can they do for us. And it just was a lot different than the last time we experienced, because 5 years ago when we went through that experience, it was very, very hard. We didn't have a community last. I'm so sorry. My phone cut me off, but we went home and I laid in bed, just physically very exhausted, but it was a lot different this time around. And sitting in the car, I was like, last time having a miscarriage almost totally completely broke me. And this time I was like, we're gonna get through this. And it was different in the sense of, like, there was still a ton of upfront emotions. I spent most of just Monday in bed crying, and we're really lucky the kids were gone for a good chunk of time. Then they came home, we had lunch, and then they took naps and just spent time cuddling our kids and snuggling them. And just, you know, I laid in bed for a lot of the day, and just the kids knew over the weekend something weird was happening, because I laid in bed all day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And they were like, I could tell they knew something serious was going on, but that they couldn't quite put it into words. And so I tried to sit with them for a little bit, and it was just hard to not cry, because the thing that was different about this time was, when I had my miscarriage with Charles, I didn't have kids at the time. So we were just yearning for a baby. Well, now my kids have lost a sibling, you know, like, I was so excited for them to be siblings. And what if that doesn't happen now? And, you know, what if that's just wasn't God's plan for us? And, you know, that was hard. But I feel like this time I switched it wasn't that I switched, but it's like the grief hit really hard and really fast, like a tsunami wave. But this time, my foundation in Christ was anchored so firmly compared to last time. And my first miscarriage almost broke me. And, you know, thinking about it, is my first miscarriage, I didn't have a firm anchor in Christ. And so when that grief came and when that tragedy struck, my foundation crumbled with my first miscarriage, and it washed away everything that was a part of my faith that was not firmly planted in Christ. But what it did was that when we rebuilt with Christ. And now this time, as we're experiencing this grief, our foundation is anchored strongly in Christ. And so it is heartbreaking, and we absolutely have been crying and we've been heartbroken, and you know, but I can talk about it and it's not going to
shipwreck me like it did last time. And I kind of had a really hard time in deciding whether or not to share. And ultimately, in sharing, I just want to bring glory to God. But I wanted to talk about it on the podcast because, you know, for me, going through now not only one cycle of grief of losing my first child, but now through this second wave of grief of experiencing the loss of our second child, it kind of has shown me, you know, where are we anchored, and where are we anchored to, so that when tragedy does strike, that our foundations don't crumble and break away from us. And my first miscarriage, I didn't have that foundation, and I didn't have that strong anchor in my faith with Christ, because in my first miscarriage, I wasn't deeply rooted in Christ. I wasn't abiding in the Bible, but this time I was.
Having multiple losses does not get easier. And even having experienced loss twice now, of where honestly it's hard, and I'll say I'm having a hard time, but if you've listened to my podcast, I don't know when I'm going to release this, it's Good Friday today, I won't say it's just hard, because even being in this circumstance of where it's hard, it is hard, but God is still good, and I'm having a hard time, but God is so faithful in this circumstance. And I wanted to talk about, what do we do when grief strikes? Where are we anchored when Christ strikes? Because for me, my first miscarriage left me suicidal. It left me broken and crumbled, and my whole foundation that I had that wasn't rooted or abiding in Christ was broken down, and I had to rebuild. And so when we go through seasons of grief, of where maybe part of our foundation gets washed away because we realize it wasn't solidly anchored in Christ, it's an opportunity to rebuild with the truth of Scripture instead of our own human emotions, because sometimes we have these really big, horrible things happen to us, and we rebuild with things that are not the truth of Scripture, and it doesn't rebuild us back stronger. It leaves us kind of with like a limp. And so this time around, the turnaround of me going to God this second time around was a lot faster. It was a lot quicker, and my heart was a lot more, I don't want to say more open, but it was like understanding that even if I don't understand,
God's ways are still so much more above my own, and that I can trust in Him and I can trust in His plan, even if it's scary for me, even if it doesn't look the way I thought it was, even if it's left me with some cuts and some bruises and some fears that I need to submit to Him. And so let's think about those things of when grief strikes, who are we going to? And before grief even strikes, because these horrible things happen, these horrible things are a part of our lives, is my question to you is, what is making up your foundation of your faith right now? Where is your foundation in Christ right now? Have you put in some of your own beliefs? Have you put in some of your own ideas? Are there some things that you have put into the foundation of your faith that if a tsunami of grief comes and hits, is your entire house going to fall down? Or is it going to be able to weather the storm because your cornerstone is in Christ and in the Bible? In my first miscarriage, I didn't have that, and I was tossed by the waves. I felt like I was drowning in the waves. I felt like I was gasping for breath because I didn't have that cornerstone of abiding in Christ. I was doing things on my own. I was being self-sufficient. I had fallen out of going to church, and I was out of community and out of fellowship. Well, this time around, my cornerstone was in Christ. It was built on Christ. So those waves came and they tossed us, but we weren't tossed to and fro. We were anchored to Christ. We had that firm footing of where our foundation didn't crumble this time. And that doesn't mean that we don't cry. That doesn't mean that we don't grieve. That doesn't mean we don't have struggles, but it means that we're able to weather the storm of grief. Unlike the first time I had my miscarriage, of where I was blindsided. And so when grief strikes, it's so important to have a couple of things. And a dear friend shared a book with me that she shared, and I'll share it with you guys. It's called The Knowledge of the Holy, and it's by A.W. Tozer. And I had started reading it last night. And the first chapter, she was like, this is going to sound weird, but this really helped me with grief. But the first chapter of this book is called Why We Must Think Rightly About God. And that is so important, even with grief, because when you're faced with grief, if you are not thinking rightly about who God is and His purpose for our lives, then when grief strikes, you are left kind of stranded there drowning because you don't have this understanding. And you know, I was laying in bed and we were crying, and I was talking about, you know, all these struggles that come with having a miscarriage of, wasn't my fault, you know, I can't carry pregnancies, why would this happen? This time around, I knew the right way of thinking about God. And you know, I was telling Thomas, I was like, I know that this is not a biblical way of thinking about God. I was like, but I just feel like good things don't happen to me. Like, I don't have a God that does good things for me. Like, because it feels like I've always had to work really hard for everything. It feels like good things just don't happen for me. I always get the tragedy. Why do I always get the tragedy? And this time, having a deeper understanding and a right thinking of God, I'm able to take that thought and take it captive because I know that's not who God is. And since I abide in Christ and I deeply know who Christ is, I know God is not an angry God sitting up in heaven doing bad things to me. I know my God is a good God. I know my God is a gracious God. I know that He has good plans for me and that He comforts me in my sorrow. And before, I didn't have that. And so this time when grief striked, I was able to say, God is still good. And there's a song that is my song during this season right now. And I'll see, I don't think I can play it for you guys, so I'll read you guys the words. It's called I'll Praise You Anywhere. And this was a second song I heard after that first song. And this is the song by Brandon Lake. This was the second song that came on that I heard. Sometimes you gotta dance through the darkness, sing through the fire, praise when it don't make sense. Sometimes you gotta stare down the giant, worship in the lion's den. Sometimes you've gotta shout it from the mountain, louder in the valley, trusting that he's going to get you there. Sometimes you gotta welcome the wonder, wait for the answer, worship with your hands in the air. I'll praise you anywhere. And then goes, praise, give him praise, give him praise. In my highest grace, give him praise. In my highest, he is worthy. Yes, he is worthy of all the praise. And this has been my song that I just turn on. And even when I am sad, even when I'm grieving, I'm not drowning this time, because, you know, I have a better understanding of God's purpose, of where I didn't have that before. And so this has been my song. I raise my hands up and I literally sing so loud. Sometimes you gotta dance in the darkness. And just, I worship through that song, and I just declare to God, I'll praise you anywhere, God. I'll praise you anywhere, even though it's hard, even though that's where the growth happens. And at the end of this song, he goes, faithful all my life, blessings day and night, countless reasons why. I'll praise you anywhere, every promise kept, goodness every step, each and every breath. I'll praise you anywhere. And it repeats that and repeats it. And this song has been very healing for me, because it's like my declaration of, this is hard, this is painful, but God, this is what I believe. And before, I didn't have that, and I didn't have that abiding in Christ, and I didn't have that foundation. Well, now I have the foundation, and now I get to coach the gospel to myself as I'm going through this incredibly hard time and feel encouraged. I can get on my Instagram and say, you know, hey guys, whatever you're going through this week, I hope that you would be encouraged by me sharing you this song. And at the very, very, very end of the song, he goes, oh, I'll praise you anywhere. Oh, mountain, oh, valley, I know that you're with me there. I'll praise you anywhere. And so this hasn't been easy. It has been hard. It's been a rough week. But this time I have community. And last time I didn't have community. And I have a church family. I have my family. I have had people send me money for meals. I've had people bring us dinners this entire week. We're overflowing with food and just blessings. And I also just don't have the shame that I had last time, because understanding who God is and being able to think about God in the right way shapes that this is not a shameful thing to be ashamed of. It happened and it's sad, but everyone in my life has been mourning, but like also celebrating the life that there was. And they see that life as precious and as worthy of mourning over and worthy of bringing us meals. And that has been such a blessing to my heart. And so when grief strikes, you know, hopefully you're not in the middle of grief right now, and hopefully this can help you prepare for the inevitable of when those hard things happen, is evaluate your foundation of faith and ask yourself, is there anything in here? Have I put idols into my life that are distracting me from God? Am I trying to be self-sufficient? Am I abiding in Christ, or am I not abiding in Christ? Because my first miscarriage, it broke me, and it very well could have been the end of me. But this time I'll get through this hard thing, and it won't just be trying to not drown. I am able to sail through the storm, because we're anchored firmly to Christ. And I think that is what my first miscarriage and now having this second miscarriage have shown me and taught me, is that this is still really hard, but my foundation is firmly found in Christ. And so when grief strikes, you know, this time around, I had a Christ gospel-centered response, of where I didn't do that before, because I wasn't deeply rooted in Christ. And so first and foremost, are you deeply rooted in Christ? Because I can tell you from the first time we've walked through grief to this second time that we've walked through grief, I still cry when I talk about it. It's still really hard, but it stings. It stings, but there is peace. And even leaving the ultrasound and driving in the car, I had this incredible peace. I can't even explain the peace because I was crying and I was sad and I was heartbroken, but I had an overwhelming amount of peace. And last time I didn't have that. And it's because this time we're rooted in Christ. And being rooted in Christ is just the best thing you can do for yourself for when grief strikes. And you know, last time I didn't turn to God very quickly. I was angry, I was mad, and that's okay, that happens. But this time, we immediately turned our gaze towards Christ and in who He is for us and what He has done for us. And I'm going to be honest, this weekend is going to be really hard. It's going to be hard to go to church and celebrate Easter because it's a lot about death, and death is sad. But I know that I can go to church and say, "Oh death, where is your sting? The resurrected King has rendered you defeated." So death, it stings, but there's also hope. And it's sad, and I wish I could have held this baby in my arms. But I also have a quiet confidence. And there is sorrow, but there is hope. There is grief, but there is a peace that passes all understanding. And if I can be of any encouragement to you, is that you can get through this with Christ, and He will hold you during this time. And I just want to share some verses that have been shared with me that I have been clinging to this weekend, that people have texted me and shared with me. So the first one is Isaiah 41:10. "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you with my righteous hand." 2 Thessalonians 3:16. "Now may the Lord of peace give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you." And then this is some verses my dear friend shared with me that I've been clinging to, and it's Job 1:21-22. "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. And then the second one is Jeremiah 29:12-14. "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all nations and all the places I have driven you, declares the Lord." And then this is my personal favorite one, and part of the comfort that I have in knowing that going through this is not in vain. And this is 2 Corinthians 1:3-5. And a lot of people will often say things like, "Why is this happening to me? Why did this bad thing happening?" And this is something I have come to understand. And so in 2 Corinthians 3, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ." And this verse brings me so much comfort of just knowing that God is near to me in my suffering, and God is near to you in your suffering, and that there is a purpose to this. And I cannot tell you how many people I have had the privilege and honor of walking through their grief with them, and know those same people are walking with me through my grief. And it's just this amazing thing to see Christ working out the gospel through this, of how I have friends that have experienced miscarriage who are comforting me, and they're doing that because they've been through it. They understand, and they just have been so uplifting and so encouraging. And so those are some verses that really encouraged me during this time. And another one that I want to share, and this is kind of a verse that talks about someone else experiencing loss in the Bible, and this is David. David experiences the loss of a child. And I want to clarify, so David lost his son due to disobedience. He disobeyed. This was when he took Bathsheba to be his wife and sent Uriah the Hittite. If you have experienced a miscarriage, I want to be firm in this. It is not because you have disobeyed God. So don't take this verse in that type of context. These things happen because we live in a sin-fallen world, and we have bodies that are affected by that, and we have lives that are affected by sin. It's not your fault at all. And so this is what David is talking about. So 2 Samuel 12:22 says, "He said, while the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who knows whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live. But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he will not return to me." So this is comforting to me because, for one, I know I'm not the only person that's experienced this, but the good news and the hope that we have in Christ is knowing that this is not the end. This isn't the end of the road. We get to go to heaven someday. We will get to meet those children that we have lost in heaven someday. And yes, they can't come back to us. And that sucks. And that hurts. And that stings. Death stings. But it has not defeated us. And so for me, it's very comforting to know that this hurts and this is hard, but I get to go to heaven someday and I get to see my children again someday. And so when death stings us, we can turn to Christ and we can know that He is our hope when it is really hard. And if you are going through grief right now and maybe you haven't had the chance to evaluate where your foundation is, and now you're like, "Jessica, my foundation is collapsing. My foundation, I'm drowning." I've been there. I have been drowning in the waves. I've experienced grief hit when my house was not built on a firm foundation. And I just want to tell you that you can cry out to God, and He is there, and He is faithful to lift you up out of the waves of despair and to place you in His arms and to comfort you. And you might not know what that looks like. And, you know, honestly, sometimes it's just saying, "God, do the work you need to do in me through this time." And He will not leave you there, and He will not forsake you. And He's faithful to walk us through these trials. So when grief hits, who do we turn to? And we turn to Jesus Christ and know that even though death stings, that this Sunday we get to say, "Oh death, where is your sting?" And we have that because of Christ. And so I hope that when you walk through something that's hard, that I just want to remind you to remind yourself of who God is and to coach yourself with the gospel. And that's what I've been doing, is reminding myself that God is good. God is faithful. He has never failed me, and He will not leave me in this time. And hopefully those verses I could share with you could bring you some comfort in your scenario. And yeah, so that's what we have been walking through right now, has just been the miscarriage. Physically, I'm still really tired. Mentally, I would say I'm doing okay. Obviously, talking about it is very raw and it's hard, but I would say surprisingly I feel pretty good. I know that's like a weird thing to say, like I just lost a child and I'm okay. We're gonna get through it, and I have a peace and a joy, and my foundation is not crumbling because it's firmly rooted in Christ. And so I hope that this podcast doesn't catch you in a season of grief, but if it does, just please know that I am praying for you and that my inbox is always open to talk, and that community is just so important as we walk out this road, and it is such a comfort and a joy to know I have people walking alongside me that have experienced this too. So that's our life update, and that's what we've been going on. You know, I can't say moving forward what's going to happen or if we're going to have a third, and there's a lot of unknowns, but I am trusting that whatever God's plan is for us, that I know in the future I will be able to look back on this and say, you know, thank you, God, for helping us through that time and for building us back stronger. So before I go, I just want to pray. Dear God, thank you that you are so faithful to us. Thank you that you give us a firm foundation in Christ so that when grief strikes, we won't find ourselves tossed to and fro by the waves, and that you are the perfect one to navigate us through storms of life. I pray for anyone right now that maybe is going through a season of grief right now, of where they do feel like their foundation is crumbling, of where they do feel like it's breaking down and they're drowning. Lord, I just pray that you would be near to those people, that you would comfort them, and that they would just cry out to you, Lord, and just know that you are faithful to answer our prayers. And that when grief strikes, may we turn to you quickly, Lord. And may we think rightly about who you are, God, so that when grief strikes, it doesn't destroy us, but that it'll give us an opportunity to run back to you and to have you be the refuge as we weather the storm. It doesn't mean we won't necessarily get wet. It doesn't mean that we won't have bumps and bruises, but it means that you are faithful to get us through that time, and that you will keep us during that time. And in Jesus' name, amen. Well, guys, that's today's podcast. I hope that my story could be of some encouragement. I know that this was very random and I don't feel like I was very organized, but I hope that through my story, maybe you could find some things you could identify with. And yeah, if you want to follow me over on Instagram, you can at Refined Purpose. And I'm not posting a ton over there right now, but you can follow me over there. And I love you guys, and I hope you enjoyed today's podcast, and I will see you guys next time. Bye, guys.